Let me invite you over to the first book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that ye may grow thereby." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne again, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, for the promise that where two or three are gathered, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we ask that you bless your word, that you bless the service, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Guide us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you and to understand more about what you've given to us in salvation. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, the title of the message is Obeying the Truth. Now, that's not the complete title, but I'm just going to give you half of the title, Obeying the Truth. And if you stop and you consider what God just asked us to do here in verse 1, he said, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. That's a tall order for you and I to do. It is. It's a tall order. And you might say, well, Brother George, do you envy? I'm sure there's times that I envy, right? I'm sure there is. Let me ask you a question. Do you envy? Don't answer that out loud. Have you ever spoke evil or unkind? See, evil, not necessarily in a bad way, but unkind things about somebody. Even if they were true, do they really need to be said? Even if it was true, does it really need to be said? So when we consider this here, the scripture tonight, and we look at this text right here, we can be overwhelmed. And we see the word there that starts off this verse, wherefore. And that's an important word, because when you see the word wherefore or therefore, it has the idea of something that has been previously said. Because of what was said, you could put that in there, because of what was said that God had implied to the believer, he points them in this direction, therefore, or because of what was said, you're going into this direction. And so tonight I want to consider a couple of truths here tonight that I believe will be a blessing in our relationship with the Lord. Let me just give you the three thoughts tonight. An impossibility in our strength, an abstract in our minds, and then a needed revelation and work from God. So here we are at the Christmas season, the season that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And I know there's a lot of different ideas about exactly when the Lord was born. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that, but I can be dogmatic about this. God did send his son, amen? And he was born of a virgin. And because of him, we do have eternal life. And so, I am convinced, as a loving Father, our Heavenly Father, and our Savior, during this Christmas season, if you could ask something from God tonight in this service, what would it be? What would you ask God? And that's an interesting thought, isn't it? What God, if you could ask anything, well, the best thing I think to ask the Lord for is a greater understanding and a greater experience in our relationship with him. So maybe I'll just point you in that direction, something that you can ask the Lord. And I believe he wants to grant that, don't you? God wants us to not just have a hope-so salvation, but a no-so salvation. You've heard that before. We want to have a no-so. Well, how do we have a no-so? God substantiates the faith that he's given to us with many infallible proofs. He proves himself to you and I. Would you like God to prove himself to you tonight? I want to remind you, Peter had God prove himself to him in many different ways. I often refer to Luke chapter 5 with when he was cleaning his nets and oh Lord, we haven't caught a thing. We fished all night, haven't caught a thing, and nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let out the net. And he did catch a lot, didn't he? And he saw himself. And what did the Lord say? Listen. When Peter knelt down, after he pulled in that great haul of fishes, and he knelt down, he said, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Do you know what Peter saw for the very first time? His sinful self. He saw that, and only the way that God could reveal that. Is that amazing? God revealed something to him that Peter did not see, and it lovingly crushed him. It lovingly put him in the place to be the recipient of, "Fear not, Peter. From henceforth, you're in the right place, Peter. You're going to be a fisher of men." And he was a fisher of men. Did he ever make a mistake after that? Oh, he was just starting with the mistakes, wasn't he? And so likewise in our lives, maybe we've had many failures, but God has saved us to give us good success in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's really the title of the message tonight. It is Obeying the Truth Through the Spirit. That's the real title tonight. Obeying the Truth Through the Spirit. So back up with me to chapter 1. And look at verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit." Did you see that? "Obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." That's another tall order, but he's directed us now to do it through the Spirit. Now, this is an important truth, and we're going to develop that here in a moment. But I want you to see this, an impossibility in our strength. And I just want to read the first two verses again. He says, "Wherefore," a verse of chapter 2, "wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, really, listen, we cannot grow ourselves the way God can grow us, because he is the true husbandman, is he not? All right, now listen. When the Lord said, "Peter, let down your nets for a great haul of fishes," right? You were never going to get it through Peter's head that he was going to catch a fish that night. The Lord couldn't do it. You and I couldn't do it, even if we knew it. If we knew it and we were on that boat with Peter, "Listen, Peter, I've already read the story, the history. I know the history on this." And he'd go, listen, friend, listen. I know you're from Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, but I'm a fisherman on the shores of Galilee, been doing this all my life. I'm going to obey the Lord and let down a net because, you know, he is the Lord after all. Now, if you were asking me, I wouldn't do it. Okay, but since the Lord's, we would have never been able to convince Peter of what was going to take place. God brought him to that place after the great catch of fishes. God helped him to see that what was impossible with man was possible with God. And that's what brought him to the place. Listen, although he was asking the Lord, he saw himself, he was worshiping God. "Oh, Lord, listen, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, oh, Lord." And so he was at, listen, God brought him where he needed to be. But God has to bring you and I where we need to be. We may understand and we may have respect and we may have regard and we may even fear the Lord. But it must be God that brings us to this place. Look, I know we have revival meetings and there's nothing wrong with more of the Word of God. Amen? But if we really want a energized revival relationship with the Spirit of God on fire in our hearts, we're going to have to ask God for that. And we're going to have to ask God to help us understand what that's all about. And we're going to just taste a little bit of it tonight. Okay, so listen to this abstract in our minds. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 3. "If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, what is abstract? Abstract are truths that are found, but they only exist in our minds, and God wants to reveal them to us personally. So what was abstract? Well, the Lord said to Peter, "You're going to get a great catch of fishes." That was abstract. That did not make any sense at all to Peter, did it? It was in his mind. And really, what was in his mind? An empty net. That was. Did he see the same thing the Lord saw in his mind when he said, "Oh, let down your nets. You're going to get a big catch of fish"? What did Peter see? Did he see the same thing the Lord saw? Is it possible that you and I are not seeing the same thing God is seeing concerning your salvation and mine? Is it possible that God is seeing something completely different concerning the Holy Spirit that indwells your life and mine. And we go, oh, Lord, but we make all of our excuses, don't we? You don't understand. I know we don't really say that to the Lord, but we live like it. Oh, Lord, you know, nobody knows the troubles I have, right? We tell that to the Lord. Lord, nobody, just you and me, Lord. You see it, but nobody else sees it. We all deal with different difficulties and trials, and I'm not saying some aren't worse than others, but we all deal with that, and God knows that. But notice this here in verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's talking to saved children. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. This is who we've come to. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up, notice, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, listen to this, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Listen, hold on. And you have to ask God to help you see this. God is telling you and I right there that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices, plural, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So he's giving us the mode right now. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, in and of ourselves, will never give up a spiritual a sacrifice that will be acceptable to the Lord. Does God love us? Yes. But he's got to get rid of, you must deny self if we're going to follow him. The flesh must be crucified if the Spirit is going to do a work. All right. Now, you know this to be the truth, and why do you know this? Because it is the Spirit of God dwelling inside saying, yes, this is the truth. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us all good things. Okay? And so here we are in this place. How do we get to this understanding? Well, I want to explain something to you, and I want you to back up to chapter 1, and I want you to see we saw an impossibility in our strength. We saw an abstract in our mind. Remember, Peter had something in his mind. The Lord had something completely different in his mind. And did Peter see the same thing that God had in his mind finally? Yes, he did, didn't he? He pulled it up on shore. And so here we have this situation where Peter has one thing in his mind about fishing all night and not catching anything, and the Lord had something completely different in his mind when he said, oh, Peter, let down, you're going to need all your nets. And Peter did not see the same thing. But did God bring him to the place to see the same thing? Yeah, by experience. Listen, God wants to bring you and I tonight into a place by experience to see the glory of God. If we want it, that's, you got to desire it. You have to say, Lord, I am willing. Now, listen, again, the Lord and Peter at least let down a net, right? At least let down, okay, Lord, I mean, I've failed, I've tried, and I've tried, and I've failed, and I've tried, and I still get angry sometimes, and I still get impatient sometimes, and sometimes I'm still afraid to ask you for patience because of what might come in my life. And on and on and on it goes. We're not talking about our past failures. Peter had a whole host of them. God wants to take us from here into victory. But it must be God taking us into this place. And we have to allow him to do it. Now, look with me in chapter 1. And I just want to fly through a couple of verses here. And look at this revelation and work of God. Look at verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according, listen, to his abundant mercy, look where all this is coming from, hath begotten us again, that we call that being born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've been given a lively hope on this side of eternity. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But wait, who are kept in the power of God. You and I are kept in the power of God. But the truth is, we may not be walking in the power of God. You are sealed by the power of God, never to lose your eternal life. But are we walking in the power of God? That's the real question here that God wants us to understand. So, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And then I want you to move over to verse 11 just for a moment. Verse 11. And it says here, searching what or what manner of time, listen to this, the Spirit of Christ, it's capitalized, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, now follow this, which was in them. This is speaking of the prophets. In fact, look at verse 10, of which salvation, verse 10, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now listen, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were prophesying. It wasn't in their own strength and it wasn't by their own authority. It was all by the power of God. Likewise, if God is going to receive any glory out of us, it will be by his power. In us. Won't be by our effort. Okay. So watch this. We read verse 12 now. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They are amazed when God moves through human beings, through his children. The angels are amazed that God inhabits the souls of mankind to glorify himself. All right. Drop down to verse 21. Ready? Who by him do believe in God, raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, listen, that your faith and hope might be where? In God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now listen, there's a whole lot right there. Seeing you have purified, look, God has called us to be a holy people, a peculiar people. And that can only be done by the work of God in us. We cannot manufacture that work, and we definitely cannot intelligently seek that, because it's not through the wisdom of man, but it's by the Spirit of God. So we really have to become as dumb and say, God, show me the way. But if we say, well, I've got this, well, then surely that's what you'll have. You'll have it. And we're not going to get anywhere. I know that from experience. There's a whole bunch of things I wanted to do for God. Very little took place. God was very gracious. I've seen souls saved and things of that nature. But what I had in my mind never took place because I was in God's way. And I'm still looking to understand to a greater degree what it means about his grace in us and his power in us. So watch this. Ready? 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And then he says again, being born again. But I want to stop right there. And I want you to understand the work that God is wanting to do in our lives. And in order to do that, I want to illustrate it like this. While I'm illustrating it, let me invite you back over to the book of 2 Corinthians just for a moment. 2 Corinthians. And just hold your place there, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll get there right there with you. All right. Let me explain something. I'm going to draw a circle. It's going to be a small circle. Ready? This is a circle. All right. And then here's a bigger circle. This is us. This is you and I. And then there's even a bigger circle. Now, in the innermost circle, we're going to call that the inner man. This inner man is where our spirit is. That's our spirit. And that is where the Holy Spirit comes in and quickens. At the point of salvation, God's Holy Spirit comes in and quickens our spirit and makes it alive. And by the way, that's the temple of God now. He indwells, we are sealed, he is in there, all right? Now here's another problem now. Now we have the outer man. That's the inner man. We'll call him the inner man because the Bible does, and you'll see that here in just a moment. That's the inner man, but now you have the outer man, sometimes called the old man, and that's our soul. That's our soul. That's our thinking, that's our memories, that's our life. That's our soul, right? And then we have the outermost man, the third ring, and that's the body. That's the body that we use to navigate in and out throughout this life. The problem is that until the outer man is out of the way, that's a good way to remember it, until the Holy Spirit that is in with our spirit can't get out. He can't get out. We are dominating, with our intellect, with our desires, with what we think. So the alabaster box is where the inner man is, and it has to be broken in order for the fragrance to come out. And remember, Jesus was telling the disciples that when a seed is planted, unless it die, there's no fruit. And so that's the outer shell. It's got to be broken in order for the fruit to be produced. Now watch this with me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. What does it say here? It says, "For which cause we faint not, but," notice this, "though our outward man perish," notice this, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That's if the Holy Spirit is actively involved and taking place. And so we'll look at that a little bit more, but what we need to ask God is, "Lord, I know I'm a saved child of God, and I am indwelt with your Holy Spirit." Ready? God, look, I would like to see more of your Holy Spirit in my life. In fact, I would like your Holy Spirit to take over. I would like to follow your Holy Spirit. That's why he indwelt us, that we might be a royal priesthood that would show praise to his name. That when they see us, they say, they are different. Why are they different? Because of what we do or because of what God is doing in us and through us? You follow? So this is the truth. That God, listen, that we would call that revival, but we can't do it as a group. God can. God's Holy Spirit can come on down and do whatever he wants to, but I think it has to be today a personal pursuit. Can God open up the Holy Spirit to us tonight? Absolutely. There's nothing God can't do. But I believe if we don't understand that, we don't know what to ask God for. So we've got to step out of the way, and then now when our spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit and he's enjoined unto it, he's going to be telling our emotions and our soul, this is the way to go, this is the way to life, and we'll be following him and experiencing, and we'll be letting him doing the driving in our lives. Amen. He won't be the co-pilot, he'll be the pilot where he needs to be. One last thought here concerning this. So really, tonight God invites us to call on the Lord to do this work in our lives. And one last thing, in Colossians, just for a moment, let me invite you over there. Listen to this. We've looked at this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles," listen, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present most men," how many? "Every man perfect in Christ Jesus." How can that be? By the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I can't do that work. It has to be the work of God. I'm telling you, the will of God is to present us. I'm not saying sinless, and so many people get off tracks and they have a train wreck because they think I'm talking about sinless perfection. No, the truth of the matter is I'm talking about God's power in your life and mine. God's Holy Spirit bringing us to the place of prayer and worship. And by the way, when we just awe at God, at what he's doing in us, that's both together. That's we're communing with the Lord, praising him and thanking him, and he is honored by that. So again, verse 28, "to whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor," listen, "striving according," listen, to his working which worketh in me mightily. So who's doing the work if it's not the Spirit of God? Paul's just told us it is. Paul just revealed to us the truth that empowers the life of the believer, that makes us different from anybody else, that causes us to awe and worship God. So tonight, God's saying, listen, I've got a lot more to show you. And I want to point you in the direction of what to ask for, that you might see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, then we'll truly understand that you've got a brother that sticks closer than any earthly brother. Amen? And a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In fact, he's our Savior. And so tonight, God wants us to understand that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, if we'll have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that you bring into our hearts and minds. We ask that you bless the rest of this time as we break off for prayer. Lord, may we truly seek you. And Lord, call upon you to do great and mighty things that we've never seen before for your honor and glory through us, Lord, by your grace and power. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.